Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
Douglas.
And we're back again. And I'd like to start out this podcast with something which makes me really happy. Today I found out, someone pointed out to me, it was Jonathan, otherwise known as Jadon the Don in the chat room, and on Twitter pointed out to me that on Technorati, G-Man Reviews is in the top 100 film blogs.
Of all time.
Where I'm number 72.
Huh? That's great. Means people actually listen to this shit.
That's, I mean,
good to know.
That kind of just made my day really awesome for some reason.
It's kind of sad to know that, you know, 100 years from now, some poor soul is going to stumble across this podcast.
They'll be like, this is what people were doing with their free time back then?
No, like, that's what the internet was being used for. After the apocalypse and the internet is a rare commodity. Instead of teaching us how to rebuild all the shit, we're talking about movies. Sons of bitches.
Yeah. So that was the first thing I wanted to mention.
It's good to know. I'm glad for you. So by the time you reach number one, you just sell out like everybody else.
Of course. Google ads up the ass.
Sad man.
Anyways, moving on into the podcast.
Right.
As usual, we usually start out with what we watch this week. And this week, I'm going to start out with I Saw the Hurt Locker.
It's about time.
This movie is amazing.
No, it is not.
I can't imagine that this is the same person who directed Near Dark. I love this movie. It is like I haven't put it down. I haven't put it down for sure, but it's definitely more than likely going to end up in my top three of the year.
That was the expression.
And of course, it doesn't come across on audio that well.
Oh wow!
He sounds like this.
This is vapid. He's trying to kill Andrew with his eyes. Oh, beautiful.
Yes, once again, I brought back the Near Dark hate.
It is beautiful. Oh my god. So the Hurt Locker.
I loved it. I loved Jeremy Renner in it. I loved everything about it. I loved the opening shot of the film. I think that was Guy Pearce in the opening of the movie.
I remember telling you guys about this movie.
Yeah, you told me about it, but I just ignored you as usual.
Of course. Amen doesn't watch good movies. The one time.
Stop it.
At this
stop
point,
it. Stop it. Give
you
it to
go down to Butcher Boy Lane, you know. Just remember.
I mean, what about Max Manners? See?
Max Manners is that Shakespeare. The Butcher Boy. What are you talking about?
Wow. Also, this week I watched the 1947 original version of Miracle on 34th Street for my Yuletide marathon.
Miracle on 34th Street from 1947?
Yes.
Sounds like a lot of numbers.
Yes. There's a hidden code in there somewhere. If you crack it, you get to, like, get the best toy in the store.
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
And the movie, you say you enjoyed it?
The movie was good. I mean, I remember watching the remake that was done in 1994 with the guy from The Practice. Also, the guy from Jurassic Park was in it.
And the little girl. Baldwin.
No, it wasn't Alec Baldwin.
It's not Alec Baldwin?
No. No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I looked it up. It's the guy who was...
Oh, wait, no, you're right, It's
Wasn't the girl from Matilda?
Yeah, it was the girl from Matilda.
Alec Baldwin is
not
in that.
No. There are a lot of for TV remakes, so maybe Alec Baldwin is in one of the for TV ones.
No, maybe I'm just thinking
of something. Something.
I remember watching that one, and it's basically
maybe
the exact
that's the
same
only
thing.
My mind could make me like it.
Jack Donaghy.
Logic.
It's the same kind of story all over again, except in the end, like in the 94 one.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, you're going to spoil it? Awesome.
Dude, it's a Christmas movie.
Everybody knows the movie is that they put Santa on trial, right?
Yeah.
The way they prove that Santa is Santa and the judge allows it and moves along with life.
By the way, fun fact about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Macy's and who was the other
Gimbals.
One? Gimbals. Gimbals were so influential at that time that movie almost didn't get released. And the only reason it did get released was because both, or representatives from both of those companies watched the movie and allowed it.
Really? I thought, when I was watching it, I thought they funded it. Because you totally felt like you were being told, go to Macy's.
That's probably why they let it pass.
As we all know, Christmas is a time to buy shit.
Essentially.
About as far as it goes.
Yeah. It was a good movie, but it's nothing, like, out of all of the Christmas movies I've watched,
it's definitely not Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, it's no Christmas Vacation.
No,
also this week I watched Anvil, the story of Anvil.
I saw that.
And it's a good documentary, I like it, but I don't think it's my favorite of the year.
I don't like that type of music, I still enjoy
it. You see, that's the thing.
Documentary.
Like, I'm not a fan of that kind of music, but at the same time, when the documentary was over, I was singing Metal on Metal to myself for like half a day. Because, I mean, even though I don't search out heavy metal music every once in a while, even no matter what genre, if you hear a good song is good. And I listen to it. But I totally felt throughout the documentary that it's going to be one of the most depressing films of the year, up until around the last moment when they finally go on the stage.
I didn't get that from them. Like, from the very beginning, from how they pitched that movie, you kind of understood that, yeah, they didn't become the Rolling Stones or whatever, but those guys enjoyed doing what they do. I mean, they wouldn't have continued doing it for all those years afterwards if they didn't get some amount of enjoyment. And they bitch and moan because they're old people, and that's what they do. But this, at the end of the day, they still enjoy each other. And they still enjoy their music.
Yeah, you get that, but I mean, like, every time I saw them going through place to place, doing shows, and you'd see like one person in the state in there listening to them, I kind of felt like that must sting a bit, especially when it's not even like you're deluding yourself that you're good. Everybody in the music industry likes these guys. They all think that these guys should have made it, but they just didn't. So it just felt like that. Like,
yeah, I really felt that, like, earlier in the movie, you got the sense that they got past that a long time ago.
No, yeah, they definitely did. Weren't depressing. It was just the idea.
Oh.
You know, just imagine just continually doing something for 30 years.
Like this podcast.
And nothing happening.
Again? Like this podcast.
Number 72. Number 72.
How many websites are there on the internet again? Is it 72?
Kajillion billion.
Billion. 72 out of kajillion billion makes me happy.
Yay!
You're almost number one.
No,
not three. Next. The last movie I saw this week that I'm going to talk about is another documentary I watched, was The Cove.
That's the one about dolphins.
It's all about dolphins.
I don't want to see that movie.
Do you like dolphins?
No, dolphins actually kidnap other dolphins. They're actually terrible bastards.
What?
The National Geographic Channel. They are one of the few creatures that actually kidnap.
Oh, so we're doing
other creatures. So they're dirty bastards. Yes, they teach retards how to swim, but that doesn't.
But people kidnap people. Like, do you think, like, it's okay when people murder each other?
But yeah, but is we have opposable thumbs, so it's okay.
Actually, speaking about opposable, this is going.
Yes, we'll get back to the cove eventually.
They found a new species of octopus.
Use coconuts as shells.
It was genius.
Coconuts as what?
Yes, they used it as a tool.
As a tool to hide themselves and keep themselves safe.
What creature is this?
Octopus.
They take the coconut shells that have been discarded.
So this
by
is a creature in the sea.
Yes.
And how do they get the coconut?
They jump into off the sea and then jump back.
Okay.
They go onto, because the coconut trees are there, and a lot of the times people cut them and leave them there close by, and they get washed, and they go and they literally take it and go back in the sea, and they're like,
yeah, well, I saw that article last night, you know, and I was thinking to myself, boy, in like, say, 50 years, we'll be like having conversations with octopuses with the monocles, and they'll be walking around, and yeah.
Yes. I just think of the Holy Grail with the coconuts.
little man. Oh, yeah. Right. So, you're talking about eating sardines.
Right. Dolphins. Right.
Yeah.
Last no job market.
Right, so I was watching this movie, and I mean, I get that everyone thinks dolphins are the most cute and adorable creatures under the sea and whatever, but for the first half of the film, it didn't get me at all, because they were trying to explain to me that they're killing dolphins, this is bad, but then they're like, they're eating them, so what is the difference between the dolphin and a cow, or a goat, or a chicken?
It's because we can breed cows, goats, and chickens.
So you think we can't do that? But
try breeding them.
If we wanted to. I mean,
where?
I don't know. We could season it just like every other whatever to legalize it. And it'd be like, whatever.
Andrew, I've heard your argument. You need to slow down and stop sounding like you actually want to eat these things. Get to the point that you got to last night with me, please. Before somebody kills you. Because you're eating dolphins.
Next year to walk with whales.
They even talk about whales in the movie. But up until the halfway point of this film, I was like, yeah, what if the dolphin meat tastes nice?
Yeah.
Big deal.
Exactly.
And then a doctor came on and was like, just in case you didn't know,
yeah,
dolphin meat is the most poisonous meat of all the fish in the world. The mercury poison...
You were bastard.
the mercury content in meat that's allowed on the market is like 0.4 something, some meter thing. In dolphin meat, it's 2,000 of that. And they were just eating it in Taiji, and they were forcing children in schools to eat
like
shit.
Fried dead.
Everyone was getting mercury poisoning and stuff, and no one was.
Import some dolphins and feed it to people who listen to dancehall music. That's the only way forward at this point. Not a bad idea.
Douglas agrees.
Five cartel chicken or something. Cartel approved.
And I mean, right as soon as that point onwards, they pile on all the real information that really gets you going, like, yeah, this is a horrible thing. And even at the end, when they finally give you the footage that they got in the cove, I mean, just like before, if we hadn't gotten all that information, I would have been like, whatever. But I think that even if you're watching a video of a bull being slaughtered, it's just as heart-wrenching as watching the dolphins being slaughtered. Because, I mean, no one wants to see that.
Does it taste good?
Yes, but I mean...
Exactly.
I don't care. Do you know what they do to those chickens when they kill them? No, but it's delicious.
Yes, and I don't need to see it. So my point is that if, for all that information about dolphins being horrible to eat, wasn't there, I wouldn't have cared seeing that footage of the dolphins being murdered. I mean, I probably would have shed a tear.
Dolphins being murdered? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not taking you on.
If it were, say the movie was about, you know, the mistreatment of cows or whatever, if it weren't for Andrew telling me that, you know, that it was poisonous, that's the only thing that is. I mean, honestly, if it tastes good and they're not endangered at this point, like, should anybody really care? But if it's killing people, then fair. Still don't want to see this movie.
It's a really good documentary, and just one point I wanted to bring up from the documentary that I thought was kind of there for us was Japan. There's the IWC, the International Whaling Commission, which deals with all of the whaling rights and stuff. However, apparently dolphins aren't included in this class.
Just because
no,
not whales.
No, dolphins are not whales, but whales are like, I can't remember the word they use, some classification.
Mammals.
And dolphins are... No, I'm not... Whoa. You see,
I'm sorry.
Wow. Blah. What did you watch, David? I'm hurt. Talking about TV shows, one that just finished its first half of the season that I've been enjoying thoroughly, and I know Damien will laugh at me, is Glee. I've grown to really love this show.
Would you put a ring on it?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm tired of making that dab joke. I hate everyone mentioning that fucking Beyonce song.
Listen.
president of the world. Dance to that song.
Every time I go to the theater, they're always playing that trailer for the Chipmunks movie, and they have them them singing that song, and the entire crowd always erupts in laughter every time the song comes up, sung by Chipmunks. So and I just want to shoot every last one of them.
Long enough to see the Chipmunks come.
But I have to say though, Glee pulled Dave Chappelle with that song for me.
No.
If you don't understand what I'm talking about. Go back and watch the, I believe it's the second season of Dave Chappelle Show, and there are two or three episodes with, Jesus, what's his name? Okay, that guy.
Lil Jon.
Yeah, with Lil Jon in it. Before those episodes, I thought Lil Jon was ridiculously awful, and I would never listen to any of his songs. He still is. After that show, however, I realized that he's hilarious. It's just funny to hear him speak because Dave Chappelle, just kind of showed it to me.
What?
That's what Glee did for me to do with this song. There's an episode with Put Your Ring on It, or whatever the hell the song is called. And
the entire American football team dance to it.
Wow. Ever since that episode, I just can't keep from putting a smile on my face whenever I hear the song. So,
The last three episodes of Glee have clinched it for me. I really love the show. And also, another show which had the last four episodes just came out has made me fall in love all over again.
Shut up, you're not going to talk about
and it makes me more sad that it's gone. It's Dollhouse.
You're putting a hair that the last episode is going to be Epa 2.
By the way,
Summer Glow is back.
Yeah, she is. Can I tell you, I've been watching it. I caught up just the other night. And it's clear that they're tying up all the loose ends that it can go straight back to the post-apocalyptic stuff.
Alright, since we're going to get cancelled, maybe we should make good episodes. Since we can't draw this nonsense for time and all eternity.
Well, I don't know.
We have a limited time frame. We need to get cracking, people.
Well, I don't know if they forced Epita 2, but all I know for a fact is that when it was announced that the show was cancelled, they were filming episode 11. So, possible, not sure.
Oh, one good episode. Thank you, Andrew. Have you started watching? Leverage is coming back next in about 3 weeks. Are you going to watch that? No. Are the first two seasons? No. But Dollhouse you'll watch. I like how I take advice from you bastards and no one listens to them. Ever. Told you about The Hurt Locker like a year ago and still. And this movie's awesome.
Didn't I watch it?
Thank you. Thank you.
Moving on to Douglas. Throw it to Douglas.
Well, I wasn't going to say this until you started talking your hatred. But not 15 minutes ago, I just finished watching Near Dark.
Why?
just to let you know, I'm about to cut whatever you say from the podcast because it's already in the last other episode. No, I'm joking with you. I'm joking.
Anyways, yes, I did just finish watching Near Dark, which is a fantastic movie and everyone should watch it.
She made a good movie, don't worry. She made up for it.
Eventually. Time heals all. Sure, it took 20 years.
Alright, what else did I watch this week? Not much. I watched Danny in Real Life again for the gazillionth time. Yeah. And that is a really good movie. I'm sure I've talked about it before. It has, Michael Scott from The Office, otherwise known as Mr. Carell, Steve Carell. It also has Dane Cook, which, leaves usually a bad taste in the mouth. But this movie is...
How about the real talent in the movie?
The real talent in the movie? Who is this? Mahoney you're talking about? No. Or Julie... not Julie. Jeez. Why can't I remember her name?
No. Confusing this movie with Lars on the
Ring. No.
Oh, right. Wrong movie. Never mind.
So, this movie is really good. It's one of those borderline chick / man can watch two flicks that I really love. Didn't watch much else. I watched your movie, which we'll talk about later.
Okay.
And, you know, the various TV shows, including Dexter, which was spectacular.
Yes, I hear.
Can we spoil it for Damien?
I actually figured out... Well, no, I shouldn't even say figured out. I knew for a fact exactly what happened in the last 3 seconds of this episode because some cock said it on Facebook. I'm going to kill them. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was so horrible because it's not even like something you could predict. Yeah. Like, you're watching it all the way through and it reaches that point and you're like, he was lying. Yes.
And then
it just happens.
Yeah, as I told you, I read the stuff about the writer's interview and the writers were like, yeah, we didn't decide on that until like way deep in the season.
I'm so glad that you guys, I have no idea what you guys are
doing. No,
yeah,
we're being nice.
I would
but within like a week's
time. Scroll is 2009, catch up. We're going straight to Dexter.
Actually, I have a couple of things to say. I just realized that I did forget two very important movies that I've seen this week. One being Ninja Assassin and the other being The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Hmm.
Ninja Assassin, you would love this movie.
No, I hear it.
No, you would love this movie. You know why? Because the director decided...
Do you like Ninja Scroll?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like this movie.
The director decided, listen, let's not worry about this dialogue. What is dialogue? No. We are going to have fights and... No, that's
and
all we're going to have.
Oh, fights. Okay.
So it was a bunch of action scenes and that was...
Was it well done action scenes?
Yeah, they were okay. They were fun. Oh. They were fun to watch. I liked it. I wouldn't give it like a 10 out of 10, but, you know, 8.
It is well done.
Yeah. Fantastic Mr. Fox now. That movie was... I liked it. It was not as great as everybody says it is.
I keep hearing people...
Yeah, they're like, over the top. Like,
yeah, for all those people saying this is the animated film of the year, fuck you, Up came out.
This is his opus. It's what he's been trying to do for years.
No, this movie is good, but not that good.
Okay.
And that's what I have to say about that. Yeah, so that's me. Damien, what about you?
I was looking at all the movies that have come out this year and trying to compare them to the movies that have come out last year for our future podcast. And I'm not really sure what the Oscars are going to, I guess because I haven't seen like The Road and A Serious Man, but I'm not sure what the Oscars are going to put
in
the list this year, because I went back and I watched like all of the nominated movies for last year for Best Picture. So I saw Revolutionary Road and The Wrestlers. I saw the Monopoly one.
The Monopoly one.
That's the Slumdog Millionaire, right?
Oh, okay.
How is that Monopoly?
Because it won everything, so it won the awards. I understand what he's saying.
I was thinking about the board game.
at least Douglas. I was trying to think, like, my favorite movies of this year, as far as the Oscars are concerned, won't be their favorite movies.
You think so? You don't think Moon is going to get any sort of Oscar nods?
Moon will get it, but not for Best Picture.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
That is my favorite movie of the year.
That is the best movie of the year. Right, that is the argument that I'm having, basically, myself. I'm going, I can see why movies like The Wrestler and Slumdog and Revolutionary. Revolutionary, Kate Winslet is... She's terrifying in this movie. She goes way too far.
Which movie is this, sorry?
Revolutionary Road.
I really need to watch it. I don't know
what to know. Like, she made me legitimately scared of women in general, more so than in Antichrist.
I still haven't watched that.
Yeah. And she didn't go anywhere as, like, in terms...
Wait, did we watch the same Antichrist movies?
Yes, sir. And in terms... Because the Antichrist...
The one with Willem Dafoe,
right? There's a point where it becomes... I shouldn't say fantastical, because that's definitely not the right word to describe what happens. But... Kate Winslet's character is so grounded in
in reality, like things that are actually feasible. And when you see what happens at the end of the movie, it's just fear of, you know, that actually happening to you, you being put in that position. I don't want to be put in that position. She's crazy. She's like, I think she might actually be crazy in real life. I think some of her seep into that character.
So, question, talking about last year movies, which one was better, Kate in Rev Road or Kate in Riddle?
Kate in Rev Road.
Dude, I haven't watched Rev Road, and I know Rev Road must be better than, you know, because I saw Riddle. Come on.
There's always a joke that, you know, once he put the Holocaust in the movie.
That's
actually what happened.
We revised the rule for Kate Winslet, saying as long as you show your boobs.
Dude, Kate Winslet should have... I'm glad she won for the wrong movie, but it didn't matter. She still won and she deserved to win. But, like, I guess when we get caught up on some more of the Oscar bait, like Invictus and...
the poster is up there, by the way, Invictus.
Maybe then I'll have a better idea of what, like, the nominees are going to be and if this year is as strong as last year. Because... with the exception of Dark Knight and Let the Right One In, if it weren't for those two movies, I'd have felt that this year was a better year for me in terms of movies that I've seen. Because while there's been a lot of garbage, a whole lot of garbage, the movies that were good are they're way better than I thought they were going to be. Because I didn't think Moon was going to be that good and it turned out phenomenal. 500 Days of Summer is also phenomenal. People keep bad-mouthing Watchmen, and they're cokehead people, because that movie's amazing. And, you know, so, like, I don't know, hopefully, no, it's never going to happen, because, care. Never mind.
But,
I also saw Point Break.
I saw that the other day too. It was on TV and I was just watching it.
And Keanu Reeves has come a long way.
Have you ever punched you?
Long way. It's actually quite remarkable how his career turned out. Because if you showed someone this movie and said that dude would have a better character, have a better career than all the other dudes in this movie, they have gone, what? Are you high? That's impossible. He is really, really atrocious in this movie. Is great, right? It's fun. This movie is defined as fun. That is all that movie is. Keanu Reeves. Oh my goodness. And right after, luckily, Cinemax decided to bring on Broken Arrow.
Oh no! Oh,
you know, I've never actually watched that movie. Goodness.
That's horrible. John Travolta and Christian Slater. Oh.
Wow. The worst part about this
wasn't movie, that a John Woo movie?
Yes, it was.
I remember liking this movie a long time ago. I remember actually forcing my parents to take me to the movie theater to watch this movie, and I enjoyed it, but this movie is terrible.
It's horrible. I remember I wanted to watch it so bad because I had already watched Face Off.
Right.
And I'm just like, John Travolta, John Woo, yeah, together again.
I'm pretty sure that I kept remembering. I don't know what it was that I saw when I was younger to enjoy the movie as much, because I remember really enjoying the movie, but I enjoyed the movie this time for completely different reasons. Just seeing he basically played the Pelham 1-2-3 character. And I don't know if I can call it a better version, because it's such a terrible character. And Christian Slater, oh my. Oh my, he was going to be a big action star. didn't work out.
He's
bad.
He's bad at everything.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know why people like him. I guess because he's hot or something. That's about it.
Yeah, I think. And I started watching
Blank.
Shut up. The Sexless Innkeeper. What's that from?
Oh, that's how I met your mother.
Right. I watched the first 4 episodes and
of what, this season?
Of this season. It's okay. Phenomenal. The Sexless Innkeeper. I almost sweat myself. Actually, it's quite phenomenal. They're still funny. And but next week is Dexter.
And moving on into news.
Yes. Iron Man 2 is coming out next year. Can you believe it? Making another one. It's ridiculous.
There's a prequel to 300 we've been hearing about for a while, and Frank Miller's finally decided on a title. He's finished the story, he says, and he's working on the art, and the title of the new one is called Xerxes. The spirit of... What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, I think he's trying to say that since all 300 people died, must be spirits.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you think about this, Andrew?
Xerxes, I want them to not make it.
Okay.
Wow.
I read the comic book. The movie was awesome. They don't need to force another story.
Last time Frank Miller dreamt up madness and put it on the screen. What happened?
It got a Razzie, didn't it?
Alright, let me see. If he can get Nick Cage. And I know I don't...
No, can't work.
No,
can't work.
I'm not giving you a perfect world. This doesn't mean
even if it's about Xerxes ruling the entire world. No. Douglas, you don't care. We'll move on.
Not really.
This isn't really news or anything, but I wanted to point and laugh. This is Kick-Ass.
You know what's funny?
The...
I saw this poster. No. I looked at this poster because I follow all of my sites in RSS feeds, so I can quickly scroll through all the articles. And with this poster, it was so big that I didn't even really see the title or where it was from. And I saw the poster and I stared at it for about 5 minutes. And I was like... What is this person doing in a Batman costume?
Exactly.
And who is this person but the infamous Nick Cage?
Yeah, I scrolled up and I saw Nicolas Cage's name and I was like, what?
I wonder how he feels about dressing up as Batman while being a Superman fan.
Really? Really? No one cares.
They're both DC comics. Maybe he thinks about it that way. Plus, he was in Ghost Rider and not Superman. Another, wasn't that DC?
Ghost Rider was Marvel.
It's Marvel?
Ghost Rider is Marvel.
Therefore, he's already committed the most ultimate sin.
Ghost Rider is an actual good character, while Superman is nonsense.
Please, expound.
Andrew, you cannot make fun of this man. How many Ghost Rider...
He just said Ghost Rider was a good character.
No, I know.
Right.
How the many comic Ghost Rider?
No, I want to hear about the Superman half
right.
of this.
Okay. So, Superman is what DC did because they're cokehead people. Back in the 50s when it was okay to have people believe that there's one man that could solve all your problems, Superman came out. And Superman has every power under the sun. And then halfway in they're like, oh shit, no one's going to be able to fight this dude. And they came up with a green stone to fight him. A green stone. Do you understand how stupid that is? Right? A green rock.
Why
is it that people love Marvel and hate DC with the exception of Batman? Because Batman is a real person. And a lot of Marvel comics, a lot of their protagonists are actual real people. They have flaws.
No, I mean, I'm not
but
hating
Superman
on...
Superman has no flaw and has no weakness, and they had to manufacture one, and it's the worst weakness of all time. Of all time. Greenstone, that is dunce. By any account, that is stupid. Which is why there is so much problems making good Superman movies. Because
I just saw Superman 2 on TV today, and that movie is awesome.
Yeah, but...
So
green,
it's Superman 1.
Green Rock.
Yeah.
So is Superman Returns.
Agreed. I love Superman Returns.
Yeah.
But Superman as a character.
Yeah, I don't
terrible
think...
Terrible character. Can you relate to Superman?
Can you relate to Batman?
Yes, I can. Someone came my parents had a girl on a night and killed people. I can't relate. I understand that. I have no understanding.
But someone killed Superman's parents and he's flying around helping everyone. Yeah, I'll just go in my corner. Yeah, but no, I don't think people hate on DC in general, like Marvel versus DC.
X-Men.
Because, I mean, DC gave us Watchmen. Every Alan Moore comic is under DC.
Alan Moore gave us Watchmen. DC
gave us Preacher.
Again. Coincidence. I'm pretty sure that would have come out regardless of if DC was involved.
I think DC also, because Why the Last Man is Vertigo, so DC gave us Why the Last Man, which is an awesome book.
But Superman is still terrible. Still terrible. As a character, he's back.
I just thought this was hilarious, and especially because of all of the kick-ass talk we had last time with the trailer and how it looks.
Can't we just get this look silly? The Dark Knight 2 or whatever I'm going, the White Knight or Blue Batman, whoever the hell I'm going to call it.
Another news item that came out this week.
Damien does not seem pleased.
Why does he not like? Do you not like Battle Angel? Have you never seen Battle Angel?
I have seen Battle Angel.
I love Battle Angel.
Fair enough.
James Cameron is talking updates about his Battle Angel adaptation.
Is it going to be live action?
Yes.
Not interested.
Actually, I haven't been.
Not interested.
Why? What's your beef with Battle Angel?
No, my beef is with live action Battle Angel.
Why?
Because I like that version.
What was wrong with live action Watchmen?
Is he Zack Snyder?
What was or wrong with Chris live Nolan? Action 300?
Or Chris Nolan? No, I don't trust him.
Out of his many movies, how many do you like from Cameron?
Look, I just don't trust him with Battle Angels. So.
How many?
No, but is it something specific about Battle Angel?
There you go.
Is there something specific about Battle Angel that you don't trust him with? Or?
Yes.
It's a good B.
What? So hold on, after all of these discussions where I end up talking about how I don't want to see Fantastic Four, or I didn't understand how Watchmen would have been made and looked good or Kick-Ass or whatever because I read the comic book, you are now going on about how you don't trust James Cameron, one of the biggest names to make Battle Angel.
Son, I don't trust him. Alright, that's all.
Any thoughts, Douglas?
Fight scenes. No,
I think that if he does with this what he did with Aquaman, then I would love this movie.
Fair enough. All right, with that kind of logic.
And the only other thing that came out this week, well, there is one other thing that I kind of wanted to mention, but we'll move on to that. The Golden Globe nominations came out. Have you guys read through this at all?
Nope.
Not properly. I do know there are some fun choices in Best Picture.
In Best Picture, for drama, they have Avatar, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, Precious, and Up in the Air.
Okay, so I've seen
three of those. And I'm going to see Avatar tomorrow.
Haven't seen Avatar, haven't seen Precious, or Up in the Air, so I haven't seen three out of five.
And in the musical comedy section, they have 500 Days of Summer, The Hangover, It's Complicated, which by the trailer alone, I don't understand how this got in, Julie and Julia, and Nine. Okay. I was actually rewatching The Hangover today, because the DVD just came out, and I realized that at the end, during the credits, when they're going through all the pictures, they've blurred out the very specific picture that just popped out at you during the film. Just seemed odd. Why would they do that?
I think that's what he really asked.
No, I don't know, Andrew. Because the movie was over I hear that the special edition one gives you more pictures that you can look through, and there's like 20 more minutes of additional madness. I think I'll get that one.
Actually, yeah, I'll probably get that one as long as the original version comes with it too. I don't trust anybody except for
Judd
with uncut versions anymore.
But you trusted Zach.
I did, but that's only because it came with the theatrical.
You enjoy funny people doing it.
Oh, I rewatched that. I got it on Blu-ray. I love that movie.
Did they have the Funny People Live thing on?
They have it. I haven't watched it yet. I just went through the movies
already. That is worth the Blu-ray cost. And not that shit.
It comes with an unrated edition and all sorts of tons of stuff.
That is a guarantee. Never again.
But anyways, talking about the Golden Globes, Up in the Air got 6 nominations, 9 got 5, Avatar got 4, Inglourious Bastards got 4, and I'm really happy because it got all the ones that I wanted it to get. It got Best Picture, Best Direction, Best Writing, and Christoph Waltz got Best Supporting for Hans Landa.
Yes.
And there are a whole heap of other... Hurt Locker got 3 nominations, all sorts of movies. 500 Days of Summer got 2 with Joseph Gordon-Levitt getting a nomination for Best Actor.
He's not going to win that.
No, he's not going to win. I don't think 500 Days will win anything.
He's going to get crushed
by The Hangover.
Hopefully he does get crushed by that, because Hangover is... I love that movie.
As a straight up comedy, it's better, but I prefer 500 Days as a movie.
It's a better movie.
No, it's a better movie.
Like, I would put that in Best Movie category. Mm-hmm. As a
but when it's time
comedy.
To laugh.
Yeah, straight up comedy, Hangover wins.
I hear that Brothers is good.
That came out today. I'm going to go watch it this weekend.
Is it being shown digital?
Probably not. I haven't
Avatar
gone to.
Is playing. Come on.
Go to Avatar. We're going tomorrow night. Come. You can come and put the 3D glasses on top of your glasses.
Yeah,
and complete.
That's going to be fun. Fun times. Thanks, guys.
I hate those 3D glasses.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, but I mean, I just want.
Avatar better. Like, well, and teach me that
it
3D is worth it, because up to now, still 3D is not worth
Dude,
it.
Dude, the video games haven't done it properly yet. There's no way a movie is going to do it properly.
Do what, 3D? Which
yes.
video game has done 3D?
No, I
exactly.
said none of them have done it properly yet.
Oh.
And if there was any medium that 3D would help immensely, it would be video games.
But that doesn't work, because no one can do it for the home. It's too expensive to do for the home.
No, but even people who have all the equipment, it doesn't work perfectly. And Nvidia is coming out with new tech. I think they're coming out with a kit where all you have to do is put on the glasses and turn up your refresh rate, and it does some magic on your monitor and you can watch it in 3D. It just doesn't work properly. They haven't gotten it down in video games, which is already a digital medium completely and already works with 3D space. Movies. There are some articles. There's a billion dollar 3D camera with like a million cameras glaring around in a circle.
Oh, I saw that one. Yes, and it's made from diamonds or something
yeah,
like that.
Some nonsense.
Yes, yes. Like,
yeah. So that's what you're going to need to make my 3D movies. You good luck with that.
Well,
I need some effects.
Douglas still hasn't watched it. Another James Cameron video he shared last week.
Oh no.
Yeah. Another news story that came out this week. Apparently J.J. Abrams is producing this film that has to do with Man on Wire, doing a real version of Man on Wire, but it's not really about Man on Wire. It's about these stories that occurred at the same time in New York while Philippe Petit was doing his walk across the buildings.
The sky.
Yeah, he was just floating on air.
I heard that people could do that in the 80s.
It was the 70s.
What?
He was ahead of his time then. But anyways, I don't like this idea for some reason.
But you're like J.J. Abrams' biggest fan.
It's not him directing it. It's not him directing it.
So he didn't direct Cloverfield either, and that turned out awesome.
I don't know, for some reason I think that he might just be making a bit more than he should, because I mean he's working on the Star Trek sequel, he's working on Mission Impossible 4, the last season of Lost, there's another television show he's working on. I think there are like 2 other things we've seen recently with J.J. Abrams attached to work.
Son, you need to strike while the iron is hot, because he's not going to make awesome movies forever, son.
Yes, he will.
Kurosawa couldn't even do that. Right? J.J. Abrams definitely won't be able to do that. I hope Chris Nolan will be the first to prove us wrong, but I doubt that too. So let him do all that he wants to do now when the creativity is flowing, and we hope for the best. I like this. I like this idea a lot because I didn't want him to make one just a heist film based on Man and Wife. I've got that. Having the movie be centered around these people seeing what was happening and seeing, you know, some of their experiences from the people on the ground, it could be good. I don't have a problem with it.
It's funny. I just realized something. Whenever we generally talk about like trailers and news like this where somebody's going to do something, it's always the same. Andrew is one extreme, Damien is the other extreme, and I'm just kind of like,
meh.
Okay.
Don't worry, we're talking about stuff, a certain trailer that will be completely different.
Yes, it will be. But I'm like that with this story here.
The Lovely Bones.
I don't really care. I think J.J. Abrams is really talented.
No, I care when he's a trailer.
And exactly. So far, all I've heard is he's making a movie. The content of
Andrew's
the movie
like,
is
a bad idea, right?
There's nothing wrong with the idea for the content of the movie. So why not just wait to see what's happening? And Andrew's clapping at something. Oh, because we're number 72.
Oh,
wait a second. We're tied for 72. But we're actually below the other person who's 72.
We're in the middle of the 72s.
So we're actually 73rd.
No, 72.
73rd.
72! Bitches!
Wow.
One thing that I wanted to bring up. This really isn't news or anything, but...
Still going to bring it up.
There was this thing that was posted...
Your goddamn podcast.
Right, here. We've all seen Inglourious Basterds, so if you haven't seen Inglourious Basterds...
Please shoot yourself.
Why are we talking about this story? This story is so lame.
It's so lame. I wanted to at least talk about... mainly just to talk about Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're just going to make fun of me, and Damon will... get behind you and
no,
behind anyone. Make one thing very clear.
Oh, so you like to get
no,
in front?
Get behind. No, man.
Anyways, Inglourious Basterds. If you haven't seen Inglourious Basterds, I'm about to reveal a couple spoilers for the film, so you might want to mute for a few minutes.
Hey guys.
at the end of the film, Eli Roth, as well as another bastard who I can't remember which one it is, kills Hitler. They take a machine gun to Hitler and shoot him until he is bloodied in the face. A lot. And apparently Eli Roth's father wrote an article, his name is Sheldon Roth, on thejewishjournal.com, where he spoke about this scene and how it isn't historically correct, but in emotional, what he liked to call emotional... reality, like that's what everyone at that point who was in the war and just even watching it as a Jew was feeling, that they just want, and him just being able to see that on screen and his son doing that was such a huge thing that it actually brought him to tears and stuff. And I mean, everyone was criticizing Inglourious Basterds when it came out.
Not everyone.
Well, I mean, some people, I mean, not heavily, but just to mention it as a thing that they didn't know how, like even Douglas was saying it when he, after he watched the film, he didn't know how it was going to veer away from history actually made it. He thought it would just be a random side story that never happened. But it actually impacted the real deal fully in the film. But what do you think about this idea of it being Quentin and every Jew in the world's fantasy of a movie to see Hitler getting shot in the face multiple times until we can't see it anymore?
I'm actually surprised that it hasn't been done in movies before, because Hitler dies in like every video game that came out in the 90s. So once you had a gun, you're pretty much guaranteed to be shooting Nazis, and at some point you'd have to shoot Hitler in the face. Everyone enjoyed it then. I can't believe it took them this long to put it in movies. I'm actually glad that they're moving away from... I mean, we understand that it was a... that the dude wasn't a good dude, and you know, what he did wasn't fantastic, but it's about time...
Wasn't that nice?
It's about time people veer away from, you know, the historical accuracy isn't always necessary to get the point across, and finally Tarantino showed everyone that, you know, it was just... showed everyone that you could do what video games have been doing for the past 15
years. At the same time get accredited for it, because he got nominated for the Golden Globes for the film. It's for writing and directing. It's not like it was a trashy movie like Transformers and people loved
it. Yeah, and to be fair, the games that had it in there were pretty trashy. Point and click adventures.
Yeah. I read this article, or a piece of this article, before I decided to stop reading it today. And you see, the thing is, it's very hard for me to empathize with articles like this. Articles where people get so emotionally involved, especially, you know, for stuff like the war. I'm just incapable of doing so.
Because I'm not a heartless
bastard. No, not because I'm a heartless bastard. I kind of am, but...
Yeah,
no, it's... You know, I never lived through it. I never had the hardships that came along with it. So it, when I read things like people saying, oh, this really touched me in a way that I could not express in words because of this and that, the other, I'm like, dude, it's not that big a deal. It's a movie about something, and yeah, sure, whatever.
But
I can't get it. But I understand that people are like that, and people can get those feelings because of where they've come from, what they've been through, and the fact that this resonates with them because of that. But I just guess that nothing like that has ever really.
But don't you hope one of these days someone will make a movie that speaks to you like that?
Maybe, sure, yeah. But for now, I don't really care.
You always rubbing off on them.
On a side note, did you see that the Quentin Tarantino cameo in Inglourious Basterds has been unveiled?
Damn it. There was a cameo?
He was in the film, but not like all his others where he has dialogue. He was just in it.
Now I have to think of where it was.
I can tell you where it was.
Where was it?
He apparently was the first Nazi that was scalped in the film. When you see that scene in the trenches,
right.
And you finally see them scalping the first one that's actually in full frame,
okay.
That's him.
Sweet.
That's good work.
Scott from Movie Geeks posted a picture of it.
Good work. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that was nice. Anyways, moving into trailers. Yeah. Unless there's any other news you guys wanted to mention, I didn't.
Can we get the trailer?
So, there was this tiny indie trailer that came out today for this Jon Favreau film with Robert Downey Jr. called Iron Man 2.
Oh, it's good to be back.
You come from, family of thieves and butchers. And now, like all guilty men, you try to rewrite your own history. And you forget all the lives the Stark family has destroyed. There will be blood in the water, and the sharks will come.
What? Iron Man 2? What's that?
Oh, they're making another one.
Hollywood.
What's with Hollywood and sequels? I'm so tired of seeing the same movies.
Damian, go ahead. Go ahead.
Awesome.
Go ahead. Go.
You brought a tear to my eye.
So the question is this: does it beat the 2012 trailer?
No, I'm sorry.
You've seen it in
You're
HD.
You're a crazy man.
Look, son.
You're a crazy man. That's all I have to say.
Look.
No, I do not look. I do not see.
Do you remember the 2012 trailer?
Yes, I do. It was horrible.
What are the odds? Smile. I should go home and watch your movie. I'm not going to work.
Anyways, Iron Man 2. Amazing.
Yeah.
Want to watch, but just as a side note, I'd like to say, after all of the build-up of War Machine, I know they're holding a lot back, but I'm more excited to see Mickey Rourke in this film than I am to see Don Cheadle as War Machine. And
Cheadle
thing.
Yes,
it's just War Machine. It's just
Eater.
Whiplash looks amazing. I love it. Like, as Douglas said, watching the trailer and Damien when he cried as the Formula One car got chopped in half. It just looks awesome, and I can't wait to hear.
That was my favorite scene from the trailer when Whiplash just kept using
whoosh, whoosh.
It was. Oh boy.
And,
yeah.
And it sounds like Mickey Rourke has pulled down the Russian accent.
Oh, of course, of course.
Amazing.
I'm just glad that there'll actually be more than two action scenes in this one.
Yes, the trailer was very action heavy. Yes.
I don't know
nothing but
no
action.
More backstory nonsense. And get to the ass kicker.
Apparently,
in the
Ed Norton and Letterier saw this trailer and said, "We have to make a movie for this summer to beat Iron Man 2."
Yeah. So, yeah.
So there's going to be an
Incredible Hulk.
I'm joking.
Aww. Can you imagine what Incredible Hulk 2 would be? Crazy wicked.
Aaron in the chat room says he's more excited to see Sam Rockwell than Mickey Rourke in the film.
Well, I'm excited to see Sam Rockwell, but more excited than Mickey Rourke? Come on.
No.
I forgot that Sam Jackson was in this movie. There was that one shot of him with an eye patch and I went, "Darn it!" But I guess that's an Avengers plug.
Yeah, they're going to keep pushing Avengers.
I don't think Avengers has a chance, but I'm hoping to be proved wrong.
Yeah, you never know.
Too many cooks and broths. So now that we're done with trailers, we can get
Another trailer that came out this week I wanted to talk about was A Prophet.
Tu bouffes. C'est à cause de moi. Si tu rêves, si tu penses, si tu vis, c'est à cause de moi.
Comment tu fais ça? Subhanallah, t'es un prophète ou quoi?
Yes, that's a legend. Unprophet.
Yeah.
I can't notice un-prophet. I'm thinking about it, I've forgotten. Which country does this movie come in from?
Italian, I think.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Whatever. it's about this guy who's in an Arab in prison and he becomes taken into this mafia.
He's an Arab.
Yeah, it says it. It says that
he's an Arab. Are you deaf? You don't speak English. He's an Arab.
Could make another joke, but it won't end well. So I'm just going to keep to myself. and this movie kind of strikes me as a Gomorrah kind of film without the multiple plot lines. Like, it's dealing with the mafia, it's going into foreign lands, Europe kind of thing. It looks technically wonderful, but it looks like one of those movies, but I don't know if I'm that interested in the end.
Well, this movie looks like it's pretty decent. It looks like it definitely has solid acting. If you see... And direction, true. If you see the my favorite scene from this trailer, which I'm sure is probably a lot of people's favorite scene, because it's clearly being singled out. Is the scene where I don't know if he's the prophet or if the prophet is the young person, I'm not sure, but I'm going to assume for now that he is the prophet, the old man that told the young guy to go kill somebody. Close to the end of the trailer, he has this scene where he says, you know, if you live, if you dream, if you eat, it's because of me. And I thought that that was just, you know, great. So that really makes me want to watch it. This is clearly going to be a gritty film. I like the look of the way the camera moves, the way the lighting. I love the look of this trailer.
I love when he's told to go and kill the guy, mm-hmm. and then we give the one cut of the guy just slipping out the razor from his mouth.
Yes,
that looked really cool.
Yeah.
This movie is anything like Gomorrah, I'll probably love it. I enjoyed Gomorrah a whole lot, and it looks in a similar vein, and it looks like they're definitely telling different stories. I don't think it's going to be as, it won't be one-to-one what Gomorrah was, and I enjoy that. I hope to promote more foreign films, because you know America really not doing such a good job giving us great movies. They do from time to time, but when there's the lull periods, I'd like to watch a good foreign film instead of watching egregious crimes towards movies like
Paul Blart. So Chun-Li.
You didn't like Writer's Guild?
Why? Douglas, that was unnecessary.
Dragon Ball. The next trailer I want to talk about is a new trailer for Hot Tub Time Machine.
Watch out, here I come.
What the hell happened last night? Is there some kind of retro thing going on this weekend?
There's something going on in here. Dude is rocking cassette player. Land bombers.
I'm sure there's a good explanation for all this.
Jerry girl! Excuse me, miss. What color is Michael Jackson?
Black?
Manifest 86!
I don't understand how we back in time!
I'm so scared.
Must be some kind of hot tub time machine.
And the only comment I really have...
The trailer came out like...
A new one came out today.
I thought we didn't talk about trailers after we spoke about trailers.
No, we had. I don't remember talking about the first one.
I remember talking about that the hot tub time machine trailer. But never mind. Whatever.
Well,
what is it that you like or dislike about this trailer?
I think it's stupid.
Wow. Novel idea, Douglas. The trailer, Douglas. You think it's also stupid?
Yes.
Good. Damien, how do you feel? I agree. I concur with my fellow co-host. This does look stupid. Now move on to the other trailer.
And if you didn't get it, that was Damien telling Andrew, shut the fuck up. A Vicious Kind.
Are you going to be joining us for Thanksgiving, Caleb?
No. My dad and I aren't on the best of terms, so...
Dad! Dad! Don't you stop,
Dad! Please give me the keys, Kevin.
If they're in here somewhere, that's my lighter. Oh, that's my dick. You want to try and open my car with my dick?
I'm not homophobe. I don't care, homophobe. I love the case.
I bet she's a tiger in bed, huh?
What? I'm making conversation.
The trailer for A Vicious Kind came out this week. Douglas, what did you think of this?
I thought it looked very good. I like the talent behind it. You've got J.K. Simmons,
mm-hmm.
Who is great in all sorts of things.
Iron Man. Oz.
Oh, yeah. Oz?
Isn't he in Oz?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in Oz.
What's Oz?
What's Oz?
What?
Oz.
The jail show on
HBO. Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
I actually never watched Oz.
Because you're a child. Yeah. You should find that child's face.
Anyway, he's in it. I don't know his name. I think it's Adam something. The guy that's in all sorts of comedies, from Knocked Up to Step Brothers.
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Is in this. And I like him, even though he still hasn't come out as a leading man yet. And I don't know if he will for now. But that could change with this movie, maybe. Because it looks like he's more the leading guy in this movie. This movie is clearly nothing new. It's, you know, the dark comedy about a dysfunctional family where his father shoots him. Clearly, yeah. You know, nothing new at all. Exactly.
She loves me.
There's just something about this. The lovable. Or not lovable, I shouldn't say it that way.
Like
it. The fact that I like so many of these actors, the fact that the dark comedy, dysfunctional family type of thing still works for me, even though it really has been played out again and again.
Yeah, but if you do it right.
Exactly, like you say, if you do it right. And this trailer makes it look like they're doing right. So I hope to watch it very soon.
I echo most of Douglas' sentiments. I don't think I'm as hyped for the movie. I still want to see it, but I don't think it's a rush out time to see. I hope it's good. I really, really do hope it's good. I love dark comedies. And J.K. Simmons. That dude is great.
He really is.
Everything.
Andrew, what about you? Andrew loves this trailer. Moving on.
No, I was just ignoring you people because I was talking to people in the chat room.
Cool.
This trailer didn't really impress me that much. I like J.K. Simmons, is it? But I like him in every movie he's in. Even I Love You Man, which I didn't like that much. I like J.K. Simmons in. Otherwise, it just looked boring. Just look boring.
I'm glad you said it though. We'll get to that later.
Well, we have no time. Let me bring up the last trailer. Or should we skip this one or not?
Go ahead. You started talking about it already. Robin Hood.
Rise and rise again until lambs become lions.
What do you think, Ant-Man?
Once Iron Man came out, I was like, let's drop off Robin Hood. Let's talk about Iron Man. This Robin Hood trailer looks like Gladiator made for medieval England with bows and arrows instead of swords and shields. And I guess it doesn't help that Russell Crowe looks almost exactly the same as he did in Gladiator.
Does he age?
I don't think he does. He just grows his hair, okay. Cuts it. Right. That's all he does. Kind of like Nick Cage.
No. Russell Crowe has talent behind him.
Well, you could argue that Nick Cage used to have talent.
Alright. I won't argue that. <'cause he
could. Did you see the Actors Roundtable? Did you watch that? Nick Cage was talking about being on set on Bad Lieutenant, and about how he acts. He's like, usually he has an idea of what he wants to do. give him a chance in the scene, and then he'll come on the day and he'll be like, dude, give me two takes and then you can fuck me up all you want, just let me do those. But when he was doing Bad Lieutenant, Vernon would like walk up to him halfway through the day and be like, what is that you are snorting? And he's like, is it baby powder? It's cocaine, you asshole. I know this. Leave me alone. Let me act. And he was just insanely annoyed by Verna throughout that film, apparently.
Okay. Relevance?
Just passing on some information about Nick Cage acting prowess. We brought up Nick Cage.
Oh, yes. Okay.
He's linking it to Nick Cage.
Alright. Robin Hood, what did you think?
I feel very hurt.
It looks generic. Which, for Ridley Scott, it can't be. Ridley Scott, by and large, doesn't really make generic movies. All these movies kind of have a specific look and feel to them. But this one just looks... It looks like a really poor man's version of, like, a lot of the Rings parodies. It's just medieval people and arrows and it looks kind of bad. If it wasn't for the fact that Crow and Scott
together again, because I mean,
I'm not watching this.
I mean, they did Gladiator, which was awesome, but they did a good year, which we loved.
No, movie is so good.
Even the scene at the end of the trailer, he's like drawing back the bow, and the focus shifts from the tip of the bow to Russell Crowe, and I just went, this movie looks, the movie doesn't look right. There's something not right about this movie.
And you know what's kind of funny? I haven't read anything specific about it, but this trailer gives me an odd feeling that is going to pay a lot of attention to Robin Hood before he was Robin Hood, when he was in the Crusades,
right,
and stuff like that. So it's just going to be a battle film.
Maybe this is a bait and switch. Like, you're going to start watching it and you're going to see Ridley Scott and Russell Crowe walk out onto the screen, and they're going to say, there's a better movie than the one that we've made. And it's just going to be Men in Tights.
Reminds me, I should watch that movie again.
This trailer has been, if you look on Twitter, and clearly from, you know, these comments that we're seeing here, everybody either loves it or hates it. This trailer is kind of weird. I think that it tells you absolutely nothing about the movie, which is why I don't really, I don't really want to say whether this trailer is good or bad, because it's just filler is what this trailer is.
This trailer
is a bunch of, I know what you're going to say, but this trailer is a bunch of pictures of what they've shot so far. Just basically they're saying, wait, there is a movie coming out. It has Russell Crowe. It's directed by Ridley Scott. wait for the proper trailer.
But then it's a bad trailer.
I know. That makes it a bad trailer. But
it doesn't get you excited. It just gives you enough information. And you're like, dude, it's Ridley Scott and crew. It's track record, alright?
True. But also, another thing that I noticed about this trailer, the way that the images look, the way that they're focusing on certain aspects. It's true, like Andre is saying, it looks like it's more of less of the generic Robin Hood type of story, like, you know, he defeats Nottingham or he just runs around and
if they
does good
comedy,
for people. But it seems as if they're going to do more of a beginnings type story or a less traveled, a less told story. And it seems that they're going to try and make this Robin Hood much more gritty and much less civilized than a lot of Robin Hoods have been in the past. And it's so weird to see, like, you know, some of these Robin Hoods have been extremely
what
civilized.
What is gritty realism? You know... Hollywood's bitch at this
point. I don't know. That's exactly what I was going to say. The gritty realism, really, it's ever since movies came out, like Batman Begins. I think that was probably one of the first, catalyst. The big, yeah, movies to bring this thing, this movement about. People have just been like, okay, beginnings movies, make it gritty, make the camera shake a little bit.
No, I think Casino Royale started it.
No, I'm not saying that Batman started it. I'm saying
Batman before Begins. Wasn't Batman Begins before Casino Royale?
Let me check
Royale?
That.
Yeah.
Yes, it
Begins
was.
In,
yeah,
like,
Batman Begins was in like two. No, not 2003, 2005.
No, I think Casino Royale was in 2005.
Casino Royale was in 06 and
yeah.
Begins was 05.
Right.
Crap,
yeah.
I have it
Begins
off by a year.
Yeah, yeah. But
you
what was I saying? Yeah, no, I think that it would be sad if that's really what he's doing. If he's just really pandering to the whims of the public
out.
Right now.
If it weren't Ridley Scott, I'd probably have even lower expectations for this movie because this trailer really isn't good.
Yeah, exactly. You see, like, what I have to be doing is, like, looking at the pictures and saying, okay, this looks like what he's doing here.
If Uwe Boll's name was on it, you'd have thought it was In the Name of the King. What the hell is going... What?
Wow.
It's true, the trailer isn't good.
And with that, we'll move into Kurosawa's Ikiru.
その予告を受けたとしたら、その人は残された時間をどのように生きていくだろう。そして、その人の心に一かけらの美しい思い出も、一筋の愛の光も刺さないとしたら。
Damien decided on his film, so I'll let him start.
No, I want you to start.
No.
I need to know what you think now so I can base what I am going to say on the madness.
Wow.
Have you seen the film before, Douglas?
Before this? No, yeah. I haven't
okay.
seen it.
So this is...
No,
this
so I'm educating the
both of us.
I've seen some of Seven Samurai. I've seen, I think it's Ran. No.
Yeah, Ran is a movie.
Is it Ran? Yeah, I've seen Ran. But I hadn't seen this one.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm seeing this film. This is the second Kurosawa film I'm ever watching. The first was Rashomon, which I watched earlier this year. And I have to say, I love this movie. David lets a sigh of relief. We've seen films about men's lives and everything.
Mortality
a lot. And what's funny enough is, as I said this week, I rewatched Funny People, and
don't you dare compare Funny People with this movie.
Not only is he going
find
to,
something
not else. Only is he going to compare it,
I'm going to punch you in the
Funny
face.
People was better than this movie, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
I refuse to answer that question.
What do you mean by you refuse to answer that question?
I'm joking. Ikiru is a lot better. That was too much fun. Ikiru is better than
Adam
40 Sandler. People.
Adam Sandler did a better job at acting than...
Empty the face really soon.
No, I'm not comparing anything other than what I found interesting at the start of this movie, because this was made in 1952. Funny People was made this year. When you watch Funny People, you see he gets cancer and eventually he gets cured. Spoiler alert.
A little bit late on that one, I would say.
I don't care.
Yeah, you shouldn't watch that movie anyway.
Ikiru, on the other hand, when he finds out he got cancer, the doctor doesn't even tell him, because they're at the point in the stage in the world where once you have cancer, they're like, yeah, you're screwed. There's nothing we can do for you. Just go and have fun for a year.
No, they said you have a little ulcer and cannot operate.
Yeah. Which means it's just like that conversation right before when he's like, yeah, everyone who has stomach cancer, they're all telling you if they say you have an ulcer, it means you have a year. If they say something else, it means you have 6 months. If they say that, you're 2 months out.
That scene, I just love how Cursor just let the camera stay still and you just kept seeing the guy as he was being told all the information about what the doctors were going to say. He just kept squirming and moving further and further away from the dude that was telling him the information. And by the end, when all the information was passed on, he was in the center of the screen and he could just see his face and the raw emotion, how devastated he was, because he knew ahead of time that he did have stomach cancer and that was it. And the acting, the directing, oh my god.
Kurosawa definitely is someone to get in a fuss about. He is one of the greats. I've only seen two of his films and I can tell you that already. I love the way he handles the story. He definitely knows exactly what he's doing. He gives us the setup of this man who does nothing in his life. All he does is for the betterment of just keeping up appearances. He goes to work, he comes home, he has a son who's married, and that's all he does. He finds out he has cancer, and then he's like, I must try and do something with my life. And after that, I loved when they were at the funeral, and you had all the people talking about him and how he was during the last days. And it's kind of funny, kind of like when the movie started and the people came in and were like, we're having this problem, and you just saw the government shifting them from desk to desk. It felt a bit like that for a moment at the funeral, when instead of shifting the book of who's responsible for doing this duty, they're trying to say who they're trying to keep responsibility, while at the same time everyone is arguing for, no, this guy kind of helped, that guy kind of helped, but what about Watanabe? It's Watanabe, right? Yeah, Watanabe. It was just a fun dialogue scene to see. And I love that in Kurosawa's films. Well, I've only seen Rashomon, so... I mean, Rashomon had it as well. Some amazing ways of just keeping the dialogue to the point and witty at the same time. But another thing that struck me watching this film, same thing with Rashomon, was that just like how you're talking about with the emotion in the actors' faces whenever they had the frame, just sitting there in the frame, it felt a bit like pantomimes. And I mean, that's what they were doing in the 50s, and that was just insane to see that. Just like, for example, when the son was coming in the dark and he turned on the light and you just saw the camera go directly on him when he was sitting down and he had just found out about the cancer. It was just insane. That this movie is classic. So Damien, what would you like to say to that?
This movie, because
Douglas is coming in fresh.
This movie was difficult to watch, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, because there's nothing. No, there's nothing wrong with being a difficult movie to watch. There are some difficult movies that I really enjoy, this being one of them. You're absolutely right. The acting in this is pretty phenomenal, or at least I should say the acting from Watanabe is from fantastic. Right? You see, there are so many times in this film where essentially all you're doing is looking at this man's face and seeing his reaction to whatever the scenario is, whatever's going on in the scene around him, and he pulls it off very well.
I forget the actor's names, but he's like in three other Kurosawa films. Oh, yeah? Really, I mean, he's so impressive, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I really, man.
Takashi Shimura.
Right.
Takashi Shimura? Okay, this guy is, you know, hats off.
he's very good.
It was, some of it was a bit odd. It was odd that, you know, you had all these people come in for like 5 minutes here and there just to move the story, just to let you know what's happening. You know, like you had the, like you mentioned, Andrew, the man in the hospital or right. clinic or whatever it was, to tell Watanabe about what to expect right. yeah. and what if meant they- with what in terms of how much time you had left, if you had stomach cancer, that kind of stuff. And this movie, essentially, like Andrew was saying, it's about mortality. It's about this man who finds out that he has stomach cancer and then decides, I don't know if I want to say he decides to live his life because of it, like, because that's not true. That's not what happens.
That's not what he does.
He, at first, it's not that he wants to live his life. He goes to a bar and he's like, listen, I've wasted my life. All I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to figure out a way to spend all this money that I have saved because it's useless, right? Because my son doesn't care about me. He's actually a really mean person that I just found out 2 seconds ago, kind of thing. But and again, another person comes into the movie for about 5 minutes to kind of move him along into the right path where he should be going. Instead of spending his $50,000, he...
Yen pesos.
Yeah, he heard the hesitation. I wasn't sure what it was.
Zenny.
March. Instead of spending his cash...
Clunkers.
instead of spending his cash, he goes out on an all-night trawl with this fellow. He goes to bars, he goes to, oh yes, there are some women involved, he goes to arcades, he has a good time. You wouldn't know it from his face, but he has a good time. He is, throughout this movie, tormented. And the one thing... There are two things that he latches onto. One being the fulfillment of this creating this park that people were worried about in the first scene. The same scene Andrew was talking about where they get the runaround because they're saying there's a sewer... what is it? Some sort of sewage problem. And they yeah. need to have... somebody come fix it, and could they put a park on top? That becomes his one and only goal. That and he, I'm not sure what it is, but he becomes so infatuated or with this young woman that he used to work with, and so he goes out with her every night, and she actually kind of gets a little bit, you know, bored with him, but. And
she
that's essentially
creepy.
Yeah, that's essentially, it's almost as if this life-changing event just made him single-minded and made him try to leave a legacy, because that's clearly what he was doing with this park. He said, listen, this is what I'm going to leave for me to live on, because, you know, my son clearly is not going to remember me at all. He's just going to be like, alright, I'm going to get you money, because that's essentially what's going on there. And that is shown in the funeral scene, which was about half of the movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Just the funeral alone was an hour and a half, I'm sure.
No, it was about an hour.
Yeah.
This movie's 2.5 hours.
It's ridiculously long.
No, it is not.
That movie moved along quickly.
I'm not saying that it's a bad movie because it's long. I'm saying it's really long.
Oh.
But I enjoyed it anyway.
No. Okay. Lord of the Rings, really. Getting into 3.5 hours.
4 hour movies.
Start scratching your head. The sun's going low. It's ridiculous.
In the at the funeral, I mean, it becomes clear that this man has affected so many people. So many people come in wanting to burn incense for him. So many people try to say, no, 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 it wasn't Watanabe that did all of this. It was this person. And then it was this person. And no matter how much they try, once they delve deeper and deeper and deeper, they seem to realize, but hang on, it really was Watanabe that did everything to make sure that this park was built. And he even, he was so invested in this park that he even died in this park.
But he died happy.
He died happy, even though he was singing a very sad song at the time.
Which I think is a really good song. Life is brief.
He has low music.
I was listening that song when he was in the brothel. When he was in the brothel, that when he was singing it, that song is a really good song.
Maybe one day I'll get greater appreciation for music in films, but at this point, I'm not there yet. Not yet.
Yeah, but the thing I have to say that this movie is characterized by a lot of open air, a lot of open scenes where there is I shouldn't say that there's not much dialogue, but there are a lot of scenes where there are huge spaces between the dialogue, and that can make it feel a bit long for certain people, maybe the uninitiated in this type of film. But all in all, I really enjoyed this movie.
I'd just like to let you know that someone in the chat room is not pleased with you.
Me? Why is that?
Because you just spoiled the movie for them.
Poor baby. Aww.
Dude, the movie's 7 years old. Yeah. If there is a period that we can't...
A grace period. I think 50 is the good mark.
50 years.
50 years is a good mark.
We might push it to 55, but even then.
So in some countries, that would already be in like the open realm. The copyright would have finished.
Dude, I could serve 2 life sentences in this movie.
Anyways, Damien, your thoughts on Ikiru?
Right, so I don't like this. Alright, that's
so Damien can be the voice of reason.
Once again, I picked this movie to educate Andrew, because Andrew doesn't watch good movies.
No, I don't. I just watch The Hurt Locker and Funny People.
I kind of assumed that Douglas had seen this movie earlier, but glad to hear
a 2.5-hour Japanese film from the 50s. Why would Douglas have watched that?
Because Douglas watches good movies. That is my logic. Douglas watches good movies.
Ask Douglas how many other movies from the classic film marathon we did he had actually seen
Fair
before.
Enough. But we're young people, and I feel that all the movies that are good that Douglas haven't seen, at some point he would have caught up. I'm not so sure about it.
Can I tell you, I'm planning on doing a Kurosawa, and it was before I watched this movie, a Kurosawa marathon in January for the site, so.
Fair enough. So this movie, outside of being phenomenal and being a classic, outside of all of the madness that these two have talked about, this movie touches on a few themes that, when I saw the movie the first time, I was so impressed because all Japanese movies to me were kung fu movies before I saw this movie. I didn't even know that they made real movies. I thought it was just people chopping people and that would be it. And this movie had a bit of everything. There was a bit of comedy, you know, a bit of romance. There was a lot of drama. I mean, this movie is just... And it all fit where it was put. There was nothing really out of place. I like the fact that he touched on governments and why governments in democracies, nothing gets done. Because the bureaucracy, all the red tape that is involved, just for this man to get anything built, he had to go through all these people. At the start of the movie, when the women came and they were asking, you know, we need this problem fixed. And they sent them, it took about 5 minutes, and he didn't see the woman actually speaking to each individual person. It was just you, and the camera was... You were basically the person that was being given the runaround. You only saw them at the beginning and at the end. And you saw how many departments there were, and everyone has these stacks of papers, but there's nothing being done. Because there's no one person that just gives the okay and gets things done. And the amount of red tape he had to go through just to get this one park finished, it was just amazing to think that a man that spent 30 years inside a department still had to do all of this and I had to get all the runaround. I also enjoyed the fact that the movie is mostly about what do you do in your life. You know, he kept speaking about his life being a big waste of time, and when after he found out and decided to build this park, he kept saying that he didn't have enough time, he didn't have time for this and that. He essentially decided that a man will be respected by his actions. It's not about what you wanted to do or, you know, the dreams that you had or all the money that you had. It's about things that you did, actions that you did to make people's life better, which is why he went forth. Because he was crying and saying that, you know, his life was a waste and there's nothing that he could have done. And then he decided that, yes, there is still time for him to affect people's lives. And though he loved his son, because of the previous 30 years of him toiling away at this place, he didn't know his son, and his son didn't know him. They spent a lot of time together at the dinner table, but you could see that all that time that was spent together was the son essentially reading articles out of the newspaper at him and not to him. There was nothing mutual there. And the son got married and was still in the house. The daughter-in-law didn't know the man either. She only knew the son. And when he found out that he was going to die, or when he was diagnosed with the cancer, he couldn't even tell his child. The only person he told was some woman. And that's what it turned out to be. By the end of the movie, it was just some woman. And he was trying to drown his sorrows in some woman. And the realization was forced upon him. He didn't really come to it by himself that, you know, that's never going to work. Trying to drown your sorrows in other people is not the answer. He needs to do something, and that's what I enjoyed most about this movie. He did something so that there would be a legacy, and not one where, you know, everybody will know. Like, all the, because at the funeral, people were saying, you know, yes, you know, we helped get this park built, because they saw the women come in and they wept because they were so happy that he did that for them. And everyone was trying to take a piece of the glory, essentially. And by the end, they realized that, you know, there was no glory for them. It was just this one man and his determination. And they vowed that, you know, they're going to be more like him. And in the end, you know, it was just not, they just went back to being bureaucrats because it was easier. And you get the sense that, you know, it really is a vicious cycle. People spend all their lives doing things that at the time seem meaningful, but in the grand scheme of things won't be. A lot of people work very hard so that their children can be comfortable like this man, and forget to spend the time with their children. And, you know, it's really difficult to stop them and say, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what would be more important and whatever. You know, there's a saying that a friend went to his best friend's room as the friend was about to die, and he said, you know, what is it that you want? You know, and he said, you know, all his life he worked hard for his children, you know, and he used to put his children aside to spend more time at the office. And the friend looked back at him and said, no man on his deathbed ever said, you know, I should have spent more time at the office. They always say, I should have spent more time with my children. And that's how it always works. So it's just this vicious cycle. I was just astounded that the first time I got any of these messages were from this completely unexpected source. As again, I thought all they made were kung fu movies. And that is when, like, that this movie helped me in so many ways. It helped me through so many situations. And yesterday when I was rewatching the movie, I actually watched it twice. Because the movie is long, it's 2.5 hours. And so I sped up the movie to 150% times or what is it? So the
1.5.
Movie actually, right, the movie actually took like less than 1.5 hours.
Do you actually read all the subtitles at that point?
No, Andrew, I've seen this movie fillions of times.
Okay.
I know this movie by heart. And the reason I did it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure Andrew's going to say this movie was long and boring.
No, I mean, I was kept throughout the movie.
I'm just going through Andrew logic here. So I sped it up to see if the movie were shorter, if they like didn't take as much time, you know, following this man, and you know, just to get a sense of what it would be like watching this movie like fast, and I skipped through certain scenes where it was like, if I could make this movie faster, would it be better? And it was a worse movie, because a lot of the time that they spend just looking at him and looking at his reactions, if you don't spend the time there and get to see the frustration and the disappointment that this man sees in himself and sees his life as, you just, a lot of the movie is lost. This movie is an amazing movie. Absolutely amazing. It's one of the first DVDs I bought, Criterion Collection. This movie is phenomenal.
Are you looking to get the Kurosawa Criterion Collection that they're releasing soon?
Yes,
of course.
Is that going to be in Blu-ray or?
I think they're releasing it in Blu-ray as well, yeah. Since it's coming out now.
It's a great movie.
It is. Just to let you know, Aaron says you've offended him because Kung Fu is Chinese, not Japanese.
Son, let's be clear. Anything from that side of the world is Kung Fu. Alright? No, I understand what it is. Relax. Still Kung Fu. Yes.
And on that note, I guess we can end.
That
was the podcast. Thanks for listening. This is Andrew.
This is still Douglas.
And this is probably Damien.
You can find me on Twitter at Gman Reviews. You can find the podcast at gmanreviews.com. And we're on iTunes, all these places. Go and vote for us. You know, make us higher in the Technorati ratings, because that's really awesome. 72.
Right. You can find me at the Rapist Finder at facebook.com. And DJR lost his name on Twitter
because he's Douglas. Andrew out.